Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
They may determine where students will receive scholarships. Well, why Moorhead? Why not another school, right? So I don't know the answer to that yet.
Moorhead State's Vice President of Academic Affairs, Dr. Jason Bentley, says his office is looking into why Saudi Arabia has pulled millions in scholarship opportunities from foreign students applying to MSU.
A Central Kentucky mayor has been removed from his post.
And Olive Hill continues to work to fix the town's flooding problems.
In sports, the Cincinnati Reds host the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. They'll be playing in mild temperatures. Lows will be in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A man charged in a triple murder case in Martin County pleaded guilty Thursday, MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to WIMT, 43-year-old Jack David Smith of Inez admitted to the 2014 killings during an appearance in Johnson Circuit Court. Police say the victims were shot and stabbed, and their Inez home was then set on fire in an attempt to conceal the murders. Killed were 42-year-old Tina Goble, her 8-year-old granddaughter Trinity Maynard, and 46-year-old Kaney Johnson. Smith is scheduled to be sentenced May 12th. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Martin County officials are asking for public assistance in the search for two men wanted on drug charges. EKB-TV reports Derek Smith of Inez is charged with manufacturing meth, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. James Maynard of Lovely is wanted for drug trafficking. Smith and Maynard were recently indicted on those charges by a grand jury. Anyone with information on the whereabouts of either man is asked to call the Martin County Sheriff's Office at 606-298-2828.
Lawrence County emergency crews were on the scene of a house fire late last night. According to WSAZ, county dispatchers reported the blaze on Township Road in the Kitts Hill area. Crews were fighting the flames by around 11:30. There is no word yet on the cause of the fire or if anyone was inside the home.
Kentucky State Police officers have arrested a Bath County man on child exploitation charges. According to the KSP, Roy Miller of Owingsville is accused of coming to Rowan County to meet with a juvenile he met over the internet. KSP officers arrested Miller a little after noon yesterday. He's being held at the Rowan County Detention Center.
Mason County has named a new jailer. MSPR's Holly McClurkin reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, former probation and parole officer Lisa Kern-Yeary will be Mason County's new jailer, replacing former jailer Lisa O'Hearn, who retired. Judge Executive Joe Pfeffer announced yesterday that Kern-Yeary will assume her duties after she takes the oath of office and her bond requirements are finished. Kern-Yeary has over 20 years of experience working with prisoners and parolees, a knowledge of jail standards, and is a former peace officer. Kern-Yeary was one of 12 candidates who interviewed for the jailer's job. Mason Sheriff Patrick Boggs will remain in control of the jail until Kern-Yeary takes over. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Holly McClurkin.
The Administrative Office of the Courts says it is being investigated for possible irregularities with its employee-only auctions of surplus vehicles. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports the office began an internal review after it was questioned by reporters at the newspaper. AOC spokeswoman Leanne Hyatt says one employee has been placed on leave pending the outcome of the investigation, which she notes is being conducted in partnership with the Attorney General's office.
If downtown Moorhead eventually sees a hotel built there, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city will benefit in several ways. According to Trent, that's because Moorhead will increase its livability.
If you bring in a hotel, it's going to bring in visitors. That's going to be tax money. That's going to allow you to do more things downtown, have more things. It's going to need support services. It's going to need support businesses. It's going to need all this stuff. It's going to help the tax base. We're going to need more better housing for young professionals.
And when all those things happen, Trent says more people will want to move to Moorhead and make it their home. With the city passing legislation on Monday that enacts a tax increment financing district in its downtown, and Rowan County expected to follow suit next week, Trent believes a hotel will be built there in the next 2 to 3 years. Tax increment financing districts offer developers large municipal and state tax breaks if they'll build in a designated parts of a city or county.
Ashland City Commissioners will hold a special meeting on May 9th to consider approval of a tax increment or financing or TIF district within that city. The forum takes place at 9 a.m. and the Boyd County Fiscal Court will convene at 10 for the same purpose. Mayor Steve Gilmore says tax advantages made possible through the creation of the TIF district would encourage larger developments within the zone.
An Olive Hill City Councilman says improving his city's downtown economic development starts with one big thing, fixing the chronic flooding problem involving Tigard's Creek. The creek runs right through the middle of Olive Hill and often pours into its downtown after a heavy rainstorm. According to Matt Kaiser, until that issue is resolved, it will be difficult for Olive Hill officials to convince new businesses to locate in that part of the city.
I wouldn't want to invest, you know, my entire life savings to bring a business into somewhere that has the potential to flood the next time that, you know, a small rain comes through. And I understand that completely. With that being said, you know, we need the small businesses. We need small local businesses. I would like to see that grow.
Kaiser says fixing the Tigard's Creek flooding problem won't be easy or cheap. He says previous suggestions to build a holding area for the creek's excess water or going through the old rail beds to develop an overflow area could be potential solutions.
The Department of Highways District 9 will be temporarily closing Kentucky 755 in Elliott County to repair the South Run Creek Bridge. Construction will begin this Monday from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Alan Blair is the spokesman for District 9.
When you work on highways or bridges, it takes time to actually do the work. On a bridge specifically, it takes a lot of work to form up the areas that you're going to pour concrete and shape it. Then there's curing time, and then there could be several areas. So they'll move along the different support structures of the bridge on either end and just do the repairs. And it will take 2-3 weeks to get that done.
Blair says weather is another major factor that lengthens the process. For the time being, motorists can use the detour Kentucky 7 and Kentucky 650, as well as local routes.
6th District Congressman Andy Barr says work continues on his initiative to include Kentucky's Camp Nelson on the list of national parks. Earlier this month, Barr reintroduced what he's calling the Camp Nelson Heritage Park Study Act, authorizing the Department of the Interior to consider the feasibility of making the Jessamine County site a national park. At a Lexington event Wednesday, the congressman said he continues to lobby for the change.
I've had a good conversation with the Secretary of the Interior, a former colleague of mine, Ryan Zinke. Very positive conversation. It's in its early stages. A bill to create a national park is a long process.
Camp Nelson was used as a base of operations for the Union Army during the Civil War, and it serves as the third largest recruitment and training center for black troops. The camp is listed on the Register of National Historic Landmarks.
Saudi Arabian students seeking to attend Morehead State University will no longer receive scholarships from their government, putting the school at risk to lose more than $13 million in funding over the next 4 years. The Saudi Arabian Ministry of Education lists Morehead as unavailable to Saudi nationals seeking to pursue their degrees abroad. Dr. Jason Bentley is the Vice President of Academic Affairs at MSU. He says the university is still looking into the matter.
I learned of it while I was abroad last week. And the first thing I did is I went to SACM's website and I translated everything on the site to try to get an understanding. And if you've done that, what you'll see is there's nothing that indicates why. So I don't know if you've done that, but it doesn't indicate why. So we've made inquiries.
Dr. Bentley says his department has contacted the Saudi Arabian Cultural Mission via email. There are currently over 150 Saudi Arabian students studying at Morehead, each paying about $22,000 annually in tuition, housing, and other expenses. The MSU Trailblazer first reported the story.
The 2017 regular legislative session may have adjourned, but the debate over charter schools continues in the Commonwealth. Josh James has more.
The state's charter school experiment is just getting started, with House Bill 520 recently clearing the General Assembly. But there's no shortage of predictions about what the legislation will mean for Kentucky students. Wednesday, lawmakers and speakers on both sides of the debate argued their case at a Louisville forum. Barbara Burke Fondren is director of Community Montessori School in New Albany, Indiana. She says the charter model can strengthen parental involvement in education.
And when we have parent partner conferences, is what we call our parent teacher conferences, we have 98% attendance. And so we're changing the paradigm of education. And because of that, we're working with our community schools in that same process.
On the opposing side, Chris Brady with the Jefferson County Board of Education warned of issues that have affected Kentucky's neighbor to the south.
Perhaps Kentucky will experience what's happening in Tennessee. There, charters are closing due to a lack of adequate fundraising to pay off millions in debts that charters are allowed to incur, as they are also allowed to incur under Kentucky's charter law.
That sound courtesy of Spectrum News. Still, don't expect to see charter schools opening their doors immediately in Kentucky. The soonest parents could see the alternative schools established is the start of the 2018-2019 school year. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
According to Rowan County Superintendent, installing artificial turf on the high school's football field will pay for itself over the long haul. Marvin Moore says putting in the turf will end the district's practice of having to spend $40,000 to $50,000 a year to maintain the facility's current grass field.
There's a good chance that...
It has an 8-year warranty, and depending on how you take care of it and everything, you could get... most people get 10 to 12 years out of it, and you have enough in contingency there to cover the cost of that because the upkeep of the grass and all the things that you have to do with the Bermuda grass.
The Rowan County School System is spending $1.1 million to install the artificial turf, resurface the track around it, and perform some other upgrades at the stadium. The project is expected to be finished in August. The new turf field will not only be used by the high school's football and soccer teams, but also by other school and community activities.
There's a good chance that, starting in May, the second meeting of the Ashland City Commissioners will take place at night. Commissioners Thursday approved the first reading of an ordinance to change their meeting on the second Thursday of each month to 6 p.m. The vote was unanimous, but will not become official until the legislation gets a second reading. Commissioners have been meeting on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month, with both sessions starting at noon. That would change May 25th. Commissioner Matt Perkins says the evening meeting will better accommodate those unable to attend during the day.
Bardstown City Council will hold a special meeting Tuesday at 5 p.m. to appoint a new mayor. After 2 days of testimony, council members concluded Mayor John Royalty forced city workers to lie to gain access to Councilwoman Casia Copeland's personal emails. After a 2.5-hour meeting, council members voted unanimously to remove Mayor John Royalty from office, effective immediately.
There's a good chance that... A Mason County man is complaining about a blue line that's painted across the port door of the county's detention center. Brian Courtney has the story.
Brian Helpenstein says the line, which was put on the door to honor the Blue Lives Matter movement, divides the community and therefore goes against the state motto, United we stand, divided we fall. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports that Helpenstein asked the Mason County Fiscal Court this week to have the line removed so that the door is more inclusive to the rest of the community. Mason Sheriff Patrick Boggs says the blue line will stay on the door for as long as he heads the detention center. Court attorney John Estill told Helpenstein the issue was a waste of the court's time and his. The commissioners disagreed with Helpenstein and refused to take action on the matter. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Brian Courtney.
Ashland is honoring one of its greatest athletes. The city plans to rename Old 13th Street to Megan Nair Way. Nair was born in Ashland in 1962 and learned to swim at the city's YMCA. She was awarded an athletic scholarship to the University of Florida and went on to become the winningest collegiate diver in the NCAA history. In 2006, Nair was voted the most outstanding diver of the last quarter century and is a member of the International Swimming Hall of Fame. Nair earned a degree in psychology and works in Atlanta today as a performance and wellness counselor. City commissioners on Thursday voted to rename the two-block street after her because she walked the route on her way to swim at the Y.
A Daniel Boone memorabilia collection will be on display at a Kentucky park starting Saturday. State park officials say Ray Buckberry of Bowling Green donated the collection to the Fort Boone Boonesboro Foundation, which is loaning it to Fort Boonesboro State Park for display. Buckberry's collection includes 351 items, including prints and other items from the Daniel Boone television series. The foundation acknowledges that not all the items are correct to the time period, but says the items are still valuable to look at Boone's impact on the American public. Park officials say a cabinet at the fort will be devoted to the collection. A display case has been added to the park campground for display purposes. 4:45 the time. You're tuned into Morehead State Public Radio. This is Mountain Edition. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University professor John Modaff. He wonders if doing good by banning a word might also do some harm.
Rice University and the University of Pennsylvania have both decided to remove the time-worn term master from some designations of locations and positions on their campuses due to the term's former association with slavery. This is evidence that the campaign to scrub language of any potentially offensive terms is alive and well. While certain words can be considered unequivocally racist, such as the derogatory term that starts with N, we might consider the long-term, long-range consequences of banning perfectly useful words for which one meaning, usually obsolete, is associated with past racism. Still, let's go for it here and discover a range of the uses of the word master and consider removal in the name of social sensitivity. To add to the removal of Master House as a location for student life advisors at Rice and the ending of the term faculty master at UPenn, referring to people who direct students and colleagues in academic programs, there is much work to be done inside academia and outside of it. The most obvious target for removal must be the so-called master's degree. Isn't it time to stop awarding that degree entirely? Also in the arts, special courses conducted by visiting professionals who come to share their talents with students are often called master classes. This must end. Another target most certainly should be the approach to teaching used by so many progressive professors called mastery learning. In fact, the denotative association of excellence in performance with mastery must in every case be scrubbed, and that's just a start in academia. Outside of academics, the term masters rears its ugly racist head in many places. In sports, we have the masters tournaments, in tennis and in golf. Books published by anyone with the last name Masters will have to be reprinted, and we must delete song lyrics, such as those from Hammerfall, or A Deeper Kind of Slumber, or Alice Cooper's Formerly Warmer, Miranda Lambert's Fine Tune, and dozens of others too numerous to list here. And oh, poetry should not be excluded from this sanitizing campaign. And that will include Robert Frost, that insidious racist so loved by JFK, and his poem, The Master Speed. Don't even try to defend Jedi Masters, and your auto mechanic had better stop referring to the Master Cylinder. And your gardener can no longer master the soil, and this spells the end of the master spelling bee. Once the word master has been scrubbed from discourse, victory shall have been achieved, thanks to the free-thinking, linguistically skilled tinkerers at colleges, who, while they know much, never did learn the difference between connotation and denotation, and possibly knew but forgot that a word can mean more than one thing.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University.
And taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy skies with temperatures around 58 degrees. Your Saturday will be mostly cloudy with highs around 82. Saturday night will be mostly clear with a few clouds and stray showers and thunderstorms possible, lows around 62 degrees. Your Easter Sunday will be partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms, 60% chance of rain, and temperatures getting up to 79 degrees. Your Sunday night, expect thunderstorms. There's an 80% chance of rain. Lows will be around 58. And starting off your week on Monday, expect rain. There's a 40% chance, and temperatures will be around 74. And Monday night will be cloudy with lows around 53 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is currently 84 degrees in Ashland, 81 degrees in Flemingsburg and Winchester. It's currently 85 degrees in Inez, 82 degrees in Lexington, and it is 83 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:49 the time, you're tuned in to Mountain Edition. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock. Nathan's been keeping an eye on the sports world. He's coming up after this message.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Round two, a great American ballpark. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, after seeing their four-game winning streak end with the 5-1 loss to Milwaukee last night, the Cincinnati Reds entertain the Brewers again tonight at 7:10, a great American ballpark. Despite the loss, the Reds remain tied with the Mets and Arizona for the National League's best record at 7-3. Speaking yesterday on the MLB Network's High Heat Show, manager Brian Price credits his team's hot start to not only having better players, but also a better clubhouse atmosphere.
Just a really good energy, and I know sometimes that can be overstated. You know, good energy doesn't permeate a bad team and make them a good team. The first thing is we start off is we have a good team, and then you bring the attitude and the way these guys like playing with each other, and they work and the preparation, and it just has come together for a really nice start.
Scott Feldman takes his 1-1 record to the mound tonight for the Reds. He'll be opposed by Milwaukee veteran Tommy Malone. Taking a look at some scores in Major League Baseball, currently at the top of the seventh inning, the Chicago Cubs fall behind the Pirates 4-2, and Philadelphia leads Washington 1-0 at the bottom of the second inning. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles play Game 2 of their three-game OVC series against SIU Edwardsville at Allen Field at 5 o'clock. The Eagles got a combined 11 RBIs from Braxton Morris and Tyler Neiman last night in winning the opener 16-3. That victory ended a five-game losing streak for MSU coach Mike McGuire's ball club.
We're a confident group, but we needed to get that good feeling back in our dugout and get a little bit of that swagger back, and I think this helps do that. And, you know, it's one game, we understand that, but we played well, got a lot of guys feeling good about themselves versus the last week where we've had a lot of guys feeling poorly about themselves.
Last night's win improved the baseball Eagles to 9-4 in conference. The Morehead State softball team has been in conference action this afternoon at University Field with a doubleheader against Belmont. In the first contest, the Eagles fell to the Bruins 11-1. Currently in the second matchup at the top of the fifth inning, the Eagles are tied with Belmont 2-2. The Morehead State men's basketball team has its first spring signee. 6'7 forward Lundell King of Gulf Coast State College in Florida will join the Eagles next season. Coach Preston Spradlin says the versatile King can help MSU at the 4 and 5 spots.
You can throw it to him in the post, or he can step outside and knock down a three. He can put it on the deck, drive past guys. He's a good defender. So he's a guy that really is going to give us that inside presence, but also allow us to have some versatility to do some other things with him out on the floor.
Last season at Gulf Coast, King averaged 10 points and 4 rebounds a game. He'll have 3 years of eligibility at Morehead State. With addition to a new signee, the Morehead State basketball team also made a slight change to their coaching staff. Former Director of Basketball Operations and Interim Assistant Coach Jonathan Maddox has been promoted to full-time assistant coach for the Eagles. MSU has tallied 74 wins in Maddox's 4 seasons with the basketball program. The Morehead State football team is wrapping up its third week of spring practices. In rebuilding the Eagles' defense, Coach Rob Tenure says he's been impressed with the play of some of his young linebackers.
Cordell Brown played a little bit last year as a freshman, and I think he's coming along. I really believe that Boaz Pogue, who's a redshirt freshman, has made tremendous strides. Looks like he's a pretty solid blitz guy for us. And then Jack Meyer is a guy that transitioned from defensive end to linebacker, who's a really instinctive player, has made a lot of progress.
The MSU football team's spring drills will end next Saturday afternoon with the annual blue-white inter-squad scrimmage at Jane Stadium. The Kentucky football team closes out its spring practices tonight at 7:30 as the Wildcats engage in their annual blue-white game at Commonwealth Stadium. Defensive coordinator Matt House is looking forward to seeing how his unit fares, saying it's had a good spring thus far.
We want to finish with the success, I'd say up to this point, absolutely was. I think guys have gotten better. I think as a unit, we've gotten better. I think we're playing cleaner. Yeah, I would say it has been so far.
Tonight's blue-white game starts at 7:30. And finally, for today in sports, former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez has been found guilty of unlawful possession of a gun. He was acquitted today of all other charges in a Boston double slaying, prosecutors say, was fueled by his anger over a spilled drink at a nightclub. Hernandez wept quietly in court after the jury announcement acquitting him of murder, armed assault with intent to murder, and other charges. Prosecutors said Hernandez opened fire on a car carrying two men because he felt disrespected when one of the men bumped into him and spilled his drink. Hernandez has denied killing the men. He's already serving life in prison in the death of a man who was dating his fiancée's sister. That's a look at sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host SIU Edwardsville at 1 p.m. tomorrow, and Eagle Softball will host Marshall at 3 p.m. on Wednesday, April 19th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
The office of Hilliard Lyons is closed today. In its place, we'll have some business stories from the Associated Press. JCPenney says it is delaying the closure of 138 stores by several weeks to take advantage of better-than-expected sales at those locations. The company said Friday that more shoppers have visited the stores after it announced last month which locations were closing. JCPenney spokesman Joey Thomas says that's common and cited reasons including curiosity, nostalgia, and the lure of lower prices. These stores will now shut down on July 31st instead of mid-June. Liquidation sales will start at those stores on May 22nd instead of April 17th. The closures are part of Penny's plan to focus on its best-performing stores. JCPenney Company, based in Plano, Texas, and will still have about 900 stores after the closures.
Apple will begin testing self-driving car technology in California, its first public move into a highly competitive field that could radically change transportation. The California Department of Motor Vehicles awarded Apple a permit to test autonomous vehicles Friday and disclosed that information on its website. A spokesman for the department said the permit will cover three vehicles, all 2015 Lexus RX 450H hybrid SUVs, and six individual drivers. The state requires a human behind the wheel during each testing. Apple confirmed that it will begin testing self-driving technology in the state, but provided no details. It pointed to a December statement it provided to federal regulators that stated Apple is investing heavily in machine learning and autonomous systems and noted many potential applications for these technologies. Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, expect partly cloudy skies with lows getting down to around 58 degrees. Your Saturday will be mostly cloudy with highs around 82. Saturday night will be partly cloudy with stray showers and thunderstorms possible, lows around 62 degrees. Your Easter Sunday will be cloudy with scattered thunderstorms. There's a 60% chance of rain and highs will be around 79 degrees. Sunday night, thunderstorms are likely. There's an 80% chance of rain, and temperatures will be getting down to about 58 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 84 in Ashland, 81 in Flemingsburg and Winchester, 85 in Inez, 82 in Lexington, and it is currently sitting at 83 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Brian Courtney, and Holly McClurkin. From WUKY, Josh James reported. Our commentary today was from MSU speech professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Sean Delaney. For Morehead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.